As we prepare for worship tonight, let's remain seated and sing together hymn number 25. Happy to welcome you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to be here with you. And we've been, between travel and other events, have been away for a few weeks, and it was really good to come back this morning and to be among the saints again. And I certainly appreciate the good spirit that's always here as we gather. It's a special treat for me to be up here with Brother Harry tonight. I know. Often you've heard Joe and I talk about how we've known each other for a long time and have a rich history together in the church. And the many years, about 10 years, I think, that I worshipped in Fort Worth. Some of you don't know that during a lot of those years, Brother Harry wasn't active in the church. He came occasionally. Of course, we knew him and fellowshipped with him, but didn't get to worship with him as often. And to see him at this stage in his life, so active in the faith and with such a strong testimony and such a great ministry, and to be able to worship with him and Kay again has been such a blessing the last couple of years. So really glad that you guys are here and really glad to have this opportunity every time to minister with you. I'm going to share for call to worship tonight our theme scripture for the week, because I think it is so meaningful, and it was certainly meaningful in our worship this morning. From the book of Alma, chapter 5. "And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, He will take upon Him the pains and the sicknesses of His people, and He will take upon Him death, that He may loose the bands of death which bind His people." We will stand together now and sing hymn number 328.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you've given unto us. And thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight as a body of your saints. And Lord, I ask that your spirit and your angels would be with each of us here, and especially our brother Harry, as he delivers the message that you've given to him. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may be taught from on high. And be with us as we go back out into the world. We will always remember to keep an eye single to your glory and to build your kingdom first above all things. And in Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.
Thank you, Brad, for that introduction. It's been a long time since I've stood in this place to speak. I had my knees replaced, what have you, and I had difficulty standing and doing what is required to preach the gospel. But the Lord has blessed me, and here I am again. And I truly thank the Lord for his blessings and all that he's done for me and my wife and my family. I really appreciated Brad and his family. We knew him a long time down in Fort Worth, and they were a joy to us down there as well as here. I've chosen for a scripture tonight out of section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants. 4C, therefore it must be sanctified, talking about our souls, from all unrighteousness, that it may be prepared for celestial glory. Where after it has filled the measure of its creation, it shall be crowned with glory, even the presence of God the Father. That bodies who are of the celestial kingdom may possess it forever and ever. And for this intent was it made and created, for this intent are this sanctified. And they who are not sanctified through the law which I have given unto you, even the law of Christ, must inherit another kingdom, even that of a terrestrial or that of a telestial kingdom. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. I bet Brad had never thought that he would give me the nod someday. If you haven't guessed already, that tonight's sermon is going to be about the law of Christ. And I believe in this, the latter day, that we need to learn and understand and know all the principles of the gospel and the law of Christ. The law of Christ goes far beyond what we've talked about in the past. And it goes far beyond church today. Out of 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter, the 44th verse, it says, "Behold, I am Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that are in them. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. The scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. And so will I, as many as shall believe on my name, for behold, by the redemption cometh, and in me the law of Moses fulfilled. And you shall offer up to me no more shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifice, your burnt offering shall be done away. And I will accept none of your sacrifice with your burnt offering, and you offer for me a sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Contrite simply means sincere remorse filled with a sense of guilt. The law of Christ, the commandments, become more demanding to us. We're called to be perfect as he was. "Old things are done away, and all things have become new, and therefore I will have you, that you would be perfect, even as I, your Father, who is in heaven, is perfect." We are called to become saints. We are called to become holy. "Verily, verily, I say that I would that you should do alms unto the poor, and take heed that you do unto your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven." That was out of 3 Nephi, the 92nd and 93rd verse. Christ, when he came here to the Americas and talked to the Lamanites and the Nephites, he didn't change anything, but he made it more strict to understand. He made it more perfect in the perfection of those that would desire to become his people. And one of the first things that he said after he called them to be saints, he said, "Feed the poor, take care of the poor, do unto them what you can for them. And if you have excess, give them your excess." And he said, "Verily, therefore, when you shall do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as will the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be glorified of men, or they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Christ says that we shouldn't broadcast the good deeds that we do for others. It shouldn't be, "Look what I've done," to boast and to be proud of. It's something we should do automatically. And we should do it with the most humility and honesty that we can. It says, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret himself be rewarded openly." When we do unto others, we only do under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember when I was in the hospital up here in Liberty that many people would do things for me. And I would tell them that, you know, when you do good things for you, me, or others, you're just doing good things for your Lord and Savior. And I think they all kind of knew that, but they hadn't heard it said before. And he goes on in Nephi, the 5th chapter, the 97th verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not do as the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut to thy door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and thy Father who is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think shall be heard for much speaking. I know you've heard this before, that before many times. I got my papers out of order here. It just took me just a second to straighten back up. Well, I said it would take a second. Did you take page 2? Page 2 is missing. Maybe the Lord didn't want me to use page 2. So anyway, we were talking about using vain repetitions. And you know, that's a difficult thing to pray without praying the same thing over and over again. Remember as a child, we always said the same prayer at night before we went to bed. And it's difficult, especially for a child, to say things that are different. But if you pray with the Spirit of God on your heart, He will tell you what to pray, and He will show you the things that you need to know. And I thought this morning, as Dennis was giving his offertory, that he was going to give my sermon. He was talking about where your heart is and where your treasure is. And that's another thing that Christ talked to us about. We need to put Him in our heart and let our treasures be Him, and not the things of the world. In 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, the 113th verse, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You'll be full of life. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light which is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We've heard that before many times. When you have the light of the Christ in your body and in your heart, isn't it a joyous thing? Doesn't it give you the spirit of truth? Doesn't place a greater love than you have without Him in your heart? That you begin to care and love others and seek after them. When the Spirit moves upon us, it's a great joy and a happiness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Christ expounds to the Nephites, setting your eye and hearts upon Him. Clean up your hearts and minds to focus upon Him. Settle in your mind on who you will serve. Those are my words, of course. Have you settled it in your mind that you will serve the Christ? Have you really donated the time and the thoughts and the ideas that He would desire for you and for your families? Have we really settled it in our hearts that we will love the Lord Jesus Christ always, forever? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's things get in our way. We have things happen in our lives that misdirect us and lead us away. Upset or sad or whatever of our news media. And how evil they can be, how misdirecting they can be. You can have a catastrophe and all they're worried about is, are they going to have electricity? They're not worried about the people not dying. They misdirect you in all different ways. And I'm so tired of that. I almost give up watching the news anymore, because it's not good news. It's not the truth. It's not light. But I don't have to tell you that. You already know that. In 3 Nephi 7:9, "For behold, the covenant which I made with my people is not all fulfilled, but the law which is given unto Moses has an end in me." Once again, Christ reiterates, the law of Moses is fulfilled. He now becomes the law of Christ. The law of Christ, the one that we will have to keep in order to enter into the celestial kingdom. It's the law of Christ we need to keep to enter into his kingdom here on earth. "Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and you shall live. For unto him that endureth to him will I give eternal life." The great and marvelous promise of eternal life. "Behold, I have given you commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments. This is the law and the prophets, for they truly testify of me." Speaking of commandments, let's talk about the law of Christ and his church in the latter-day revelations. I'm going to read the preface to section 42 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Revelation given through Joseph Smith, Jr., and addressed to the elders of the church. It was given February the 9th, 1831, in the presence of 12 elders who had assembled at Kirtland, Ohio, in harmony with the instruction given them in an earlier revelation, Doctrine and Covenants 41:1b. And I'll go ahead and read that now. It says, "Hearken, O ye elders of my church, whom I have called. Behold, I give you a command, that you shall assemble yourselves together to agree upon my word, and by the prayer of your faith you shall receive my law, that you may know how to govern my church and have all things right before me." And going on in section 42, preface, in 1835 edition of Doctrine and Covenants, this revelation appears in section 13 and is headed Laws of the Church. In section 42:6, "And now behold, I speak unto the church." Speaking to the church. That's us, isn't it? "That thou shalt not kill, that he that kills shall not have forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come." Not quite the same as the commandment given in the law of Moses. "And again I say, thou shalt not kill, but he that killeth shall die." You know, isn't that a little bit more harder to do than just say, thou shalt not kill? "Thou shalt not steal, and he that stealeth and will not repent shall be cast out." Under the law of Moses, you could steal, but you got punished for it. But we're talking about the church now. "And thou steal and not repent, you shall be cast out. Thou shalt not lie. He that lie will not repent and shall be cast out. Thou shalt love thy wife with all thy heart and shall cleave unto her and none else. And he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her shall deny the faith and shall not have the Spirit. And if he repents, he shall be cast out." Now the law of Christ brings it a little closer to how we should really be. We should not look upon another woman to lust after, not even think about it. "Thou shalt not commit adultery, and he that committeth adultery and repenteth not shall be cast out. And he that committeth adultery and repents with all his heart and forsake it and doth it no more, thou shalt forgive. But if he do it again, he shall not be forgiven, but shall be cast out. Thou shalt not speak of evil of thy neighbor or do him any harm." I wonder how many times we've done evil to our neighbor because we talked behind their back or said things that we shouldn't have said, got carried on to other people. Sometimes it gets back to them and then it really hurts. Maybe not it doesn't hurt so much that we said it, but because it came back to us. And now we feel the pain that they felt. Or now we're the sinner. You know, how many times do we sin against others and maybe nobody even knows about it. But God knows and He remembers. And I'm not trying to be condemning to anybody, but these are the words of Christ. Thou knowest my laws concerning these things that are given in the Scripture, and he that sinneth and repenteth not shall be cast out. Are we always repenting? I guess that's why he said, repent and come unto me. If thou lovest me, thou shalt serve me and keep all my commandments. All my commandments. And behold, thou wilt remember the poor and consecrate thy properties for their support, that which thou hast to impart unto them, with a covenant and a deed which cannot be broken. Once again, he goes to the poor right immediately after telling us about the commandments. The poor are very important to Christ. They have great needs. How many have not heard the gospel? Maybe they're poor because they haven't had a chance or an opportunity. Maybe we can help support them in that chance and that opportunity. Maybe we can be of help to them. And inasmuch as you part of your substance unto me, unto the poor, you will do it unto me. And it shall be laid before the bishop of my church and his counselor, two elders, high priest, or shall, as he shall appoint, and set apart for that purpose. No, we don't have a bishop anymore. Does that mean we have no responsibility? That we no longer be tithed? That we no longer give that which we have that's excess? I don't think so. But that's an individual choice. Just like our agency was talked about this morning. Our agency in tithing is our choice. But we also know from what he said, we might not get into the kingdom if we aren't. It shall come to pass there are laid before the bishop so-and-so a testimony concerning the prophets of my church, and they cannot be taken from the church agreeable by my commandments. All the properties of the church have been sold. There's hardly anything left that we had as our LDS church that hasn't been sold for filthy lucre so that the community of Christ could support themselves. And I'm not saying anything against the community of Christ. They only do what they think is right. And they're led by false prophets. And if we're not careful, we can be led by false prophets also. So every man should be accountable to steward of his own property that he has received by consecration and so much as is sufficient for himself and his family. I don't think anybody receives consecration anymore. That's where the church would give, the bishop would give properties to an individual that couldn't make it on his own. But after having a long recitation, I know Mary worked for a bishop. She told me many stories about people who come in and wanting money. And the bishop didn't just hand it out. They had to have reason and how and why they were in the situation they were in. And they would explain it to him. Sometimes he would give them something, sometimes he wouldn't. The bishop was a very important part of the church, as it was in the days of old. And therefore the residue shall be kept in my storehouse to administer to the poor and needy as shall be appointed by the high council of the church and the bishop of his church council and for the purpose of purchasing land for public benefit of the church and building houses of worship. We did that for a long time. Now all that property's gone. I look for him to sell the stone church one of these days. And the building up a new Jerusalem, which is hereafter to be revealed, and my covenant people may be gathered in one, and that day that they shall come to my temple. This I do for the salvation of my people. No, we don't have a temple in Zion. Have we been instructed to build one? Yes. Will we be the ones to build it? I don't know. I hope so. I sincerely hope so. He's given the commandment to do it, and I hope that someday we'll see a temple on that lot up there next to the auditorium. That'll be a place for the perfection of the priesthood, that they can go out and preach the gospel into all the world and accomplish the purposes that God set us here in this church for. And it come to pass that he that sinneth and repenteth not shall be cast out of the church, and shall not receive again that which was consecrated unto the poor, and the need of my church, or in other words, unto me. In other words, if they took from the church and they sent us and didn't pay it back or whatever they needed to do, they would be cast out. As inasmuch as you do unto the least of these, you do it unto me, for it shall come to pass that which I spake by the mouth of the prophet shall be fulfilled. For I will concentrate it of the riches of those who embrace my gospel among the Gentiles, and unto the poor of my people who are of the house of Israel. Again, thou shalt not be proud in thy heart. Let thy garments be plain, and their beauty the beauty of work of thine own hands. And let all things be done in cleanliness before me. Thou shalt not be idle, for he that is idle shall not eat the bread nor wear the garments of the laborer. And then we get into the sick. Those who are sick have not the faith to be healed, but believe. They're nourished with all tenderness of herbs and mild food, and not by the hand of an enemy. The elders of the church, two or more, shall be called and shall pray for and lay their hands upon them in my name. If they die, they shall die in me. If they live, they shall live unto me. We use that one a lot. We truly do seek after His will when we're sick and afflicted. We truly do call upon the elders many times, as well we should, and continue to do, in faith believing. Thou shalt live together in love, insomuch that thou shalt weep for the loss of them that die, and more especially for those that have not a hope of the glorious resurrection. Who are those that don't have a hope of the glorious resurrection? Those that have been baptized in the waters of baptism and joined with Christ's church. And I speak to you particularly tonight because you're all covenant people. I don't see anybody here that's not a covenant person. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. Excuse me. If thou obtainest more than that which should be for thy support, thou shalt give it to my storehouse, that all things may be done according to that which I have said. No, we don't have a storehouse. Just because we don't have a bishop, should we not have a storehouse? Once again, you have to use your own judgment on that. I'm going to go ahead and read section 42, 15a. Thou shalt ask, and my scripture shall be given as I have appointed, and they shall be preserved in safety. And it is expedient that thou should holdest thy peace concerning them, and not teach them until thou hast fully received them. Well, they've been fully received, brothers and sisters. the time to hold that feast has passed. We need to be telling the people about the gospel and the kingdom. But then after you hold your peace, they received them in full, he gave them a commandment that you should teach them unto all men. For they shall be taught unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. This is a commandment, once again. Keep all my commandments. Thou shalt take the things which thou hast received, which I have given unto thee in my scriptures for a law, to be my law, the law of Christ, to govern my church. Has anything changed there? I don't think so. And he that doeth according to things shall be saved, and he that doeth them not shall be damned, if he continues. He gives us an out to repent, discontinue what you're doing. Put your countenance in his. If thou shalt ask, you receive revelation upon revelation, knowledge upon knowledge, that thou mayest know the mysteries and the peaceable things which bring joy, which bring eternal life. Verily, thus saith the Lord, I require all the surplus water to put in the hands of Bishop my church for of Zion, for the building of mine house, for the laying the foundation of Zion, for the priesthood, the debts, and the presence of my church. This is section 106. A. And this shall be the beginning of the tithing of my people. After those who have thus been tithed shall pay one-tenth of their increase or interest annually. And this shall be a standing law unto them forever for my holy priesthood, saith the Lord. Do we make an accounting? Do we pay one-tenth of our increase, our surplus? I'm sure there are many of you that do. I know many of you are using the Financial Peace Program. That's a good program. It's wonderful. They help you to teach you about doing a budget and sticking to it. There's many families that have had great increase because of that program. And I'll guarantee you that if you follow it, you'll be keeping the stewardship law, and the Lord will bless you. I got to tell you about my father, who was an abbot, keeper of his stewardship. And he had one of those old yellow booklets with all the columns and rows in it, and there was something in there for just about anything you could think of. And if he bought a cup of coffee for a dime, yeah, it was a dime back then, he put down 10 cents in that column for that day. He did that every day of his life. And at the end of the year, he made out his financial statement and sent it in to the bishop. We can't do that anymore, but we can certainly make out that financial statement. And whether you send it to the Joe or somebody in the church, or you keep it in your safe at home, or if you just put it in your pocket, you've done what the Lord required. You made an accounting. When you make an accounting, the Lord will bless you. Look how many times in the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, people were blessed because they kept the law. How wonderful. And as I live, saith the Lord, in the manner ye shall execute, in the manner you execute this matter, so shall ye be judged in the day of judgment. We do these things, we're going to be judged by them. Is stewardship only our money? No, it's our time, our talents, all the many blessings the Lord has given us, of which we didn't do it on our own. All these things belong to the Lord. All the talents and the gifts that He gives us belong to the Lord. And He wants for us to give back. I'm going to go back to the poor for a minute. And you remember in Mosiah was talking to the people. And he chastened them a little bit. Mosiah, the first and second chapter. And he said, now they were richly blessed by the Holy Spirit after Mosiah got through talking to him, or King Benjamin got through talking to him. And he said, and has he suffered that you beg in vain? Nay, he has poured out his Spirit upon you, and has caused your hearts to be filled with joy, and has caused your mouths to be stopped, and you could not find utterance. So exceeding great was your joy. Have you ever been there? Now, if God has created you, on whom you are dependent for your lives, and all that you have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right in faith believing, that you shall receive. Oh, then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? If you judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, and that he perish not, but condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation? For withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but belong to God, to whom also your life belongeth. Don't we breathe the air that he put down here for us? Would we be alive if he didn't provide for us that air? And yet you put up petition, or repent of that thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto these who are rich, as pertaining to the things of the world. And again I say unto the poor, ye who have not, and yet have sufficient, that you remain from day to day, I mean all you, who deny the beggar because you have not. I would that you should say in your hearts that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. And now if you say this is in your hearts, you remain guiltless. Otherwise you are condemned, and your condemnation is just, for you covet that which you have not received. So he's got some words for the poor too. And now the sake of these things that I have spoken to you is for the sake of retaining or remission your sins from day to day, that you may walk guiltless before God. Would you like to have your sins forgiven every day? I would. And he said, I would that you should impart your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he has, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. Somebody read this morning. Administer to the relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see, these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite a man should run faster than he has strength. In other words, choose your giving wisely. And again, it is expedient you should be diligent, and thereby you might win the prize. Therefore all things must be done in order. And I would you should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth his neighbor should return the thing he borroweth, and acknowledge as he doth agree. Or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin. Have we done things to our neighbor that might cause him to commit sin? I would hope not, but it's easy to do. By what we say, what we do. We borrow something, we don't take it back. And he says, I wonder where my drill is. Oh, I loaned that to Joe. Joe says, I don't have it. But over in his closet, it's in the closet. Yeah, I'm just picking on him because he's my son. And finally, I tell you all the things everybody might commit sin. There are many divers ways and means, so many that I cannot number them. That's why we're sinners. There's so many ways to sin. You can't even number them. He says, but this much I tell you, that you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of your Lord, even to the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I'm going to end there with that. I want to thank you for your attention. I pray that I didn't offend anybody, but I know that we have a lot of work to do and a lot of preparation to make, and we can do better. And I speak for myself as well as I won't speak for you. I don't have any right to speak for you. Only you know the truth. And the light and truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this opportunity to have been together. We thank you for your good spirit that has been with us this evening, and we thank you for the bread of life that has been broken before us, even the reminder of the law and the commandments, Father, that you have given unto us. May we be more resolute in our intent to follow those commandments and to live our lives according to your law. even that we truly, Father, could receive that forgiveness of sin and the reward that you have promised for those who are obedient. Will you be with us now as we go from this place, as we go back into our homes, into our busy lives, into the way of this world? We pray that your Spirit will go before us, that we will remember the things that we have been admonished this day, and that we will, Father, have your Spirit and the gift of discernment to guide and direct us as we go throughout our lives. Will you be with us now and with the rest of our congregation who is not here but are with us in spirit? May you allow your blessings to be with them as well. And go with us now from this place, we would ask and pray very humbly, in the name of your Son, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.